I think there's a door there somewhere. There's a door. I just got to come back through it. Yeah. We're so used to seeing with these eyes that you're light. You're full of light. You're the light of the world. Jesus said that. You know, He is light, and in you, you're full of light. And sometimes we think our lives are so dark. And that's just so not true. You're so full of light. So we can get absorbed with our physicality and what's going on here. But you shine. You're glorious. You carry a power. You carry a presence. You carry a vibration, a frequency. It's so beautiful and light and such a rich source. It's coming from Him and it's so beautiful. And that's you. You radiate that light. You may not be aware of that. The angels are aware of that. The demons are aware of that. You know, the demons are aware of that because they want to suck it. They want to suck the life that you carry. You know, that's what I... I'm going to speak some strange stuff. Weird stuff. Could be scary stuff. But it's good to know. You know, occult people try to suck life from people. You know, because and that's... And you think, well, what life have I got? You have got huge life. You've got glory increasingly breaking out through you. And the weird thing is sometimes when we latch on to people and we become, dependent on people, you know, because we want to meet some insecurities in ourselves. We latch on and people feed from our life and we feed from their life. And these things shouldn't be. But the fact that you can do that says you've got life. That's why Paul says in Galatians, don't bite and devour one another. You know, you can eat one another. You can eat what is flowing from people. And it's not meant to be that way. But, you know, you will increasingly have, as this glory shines, you will increasingly have people who want to come and drink from it. And some of them with not the best motives. So just telling you this now, because you need wisdom. Oh, you need wisdom, because here's the thing, you know, you can be so hoodwinked into thinking you're not full of life, you know, that you've got the poor me syndrome, the little me syndrome, so you're not ready for when people come and try and draw from you, because you're meant to be a source of life, of true life, not to be come under people and be sapped by them. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Maybe I need to give specific illustrations, if one would come to my head. I'm a bit. Half of me is very drunk, so I'm trying to be. Does that offend anyone? Drunkenness? We know that word, don't we? You always have to explain it in German, just to make sure they know. You know, we don't actually. We mean spirit drunk, like. And oh yeah, okay, I understand. It's like whoa. You're a source of... This is extraordinary. That you are a source of life. That Him in you flows through you. And we're called to steward that. Wow. So once we move beyond realizing that I'm little me, because I kind of am little me, but that was never any different. I mean, why did you think you were big me? You're little me, but you're full of glory. So you're not little me, full stop. That's why I no longer live. I, the independent, self-sufficient, self-sourced me, no longer lives. Amen. Because there still is a me, because it then says, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. So I'm still here. I've not disappeared. I've not ceased to exist, and it's only Christ. But I'm not sourced in myself anymore, and Christ is within me. And we're one. We flow together. So I'm never sufficient on my own. never sufficient on my own. It's my sufficiency is in him. And that flows out through you. And, you know, a lot of us as church, we're that power is being, that flow is harnessed into other things. And that's when we repent and disengage and come out of agreement with idolatry and worshipping people and things like that. We all of a sudden, this reservoir, this life starts to flow. Because instead of being sapped somewhere else, it's like electricity flowing through you freely to affect your environment. Because it's not hooked into something else. Is this making any sense? So, it's like, you know, that strange story in Acts. I think it's on the left-hand side, second column, but I think it's chapter 7 to 11, that sort of bit there. When Simon, the magician, comes to Peter and the, or whoever else would have been with him, and it's Peter and John, isn't it? But there's others, I'm sure there would be others with him. And he says, can I give you money so I can have that power? They, you know, touch people and they get filled with the Spirit. Because we were made for power. We were made for extraordinary power. But it's never an end in itself. It's always to love. So Simon is after power just to have power. To give him identity, to give him sense, purpose, just for evil motives. Evil just wants power. To give it to do whatever it wants to do. And of course, Peter, you know, it's not a very, it wouldn't seem like a very Christian response, is it? He says, may your money perish with you. I see that you are, I'll just paraphrase it. I see that you are full of evil. Wow. You saw it. So he's not just going, I've worked it out. I see what is going on. And you cannot source this, and I will not latch on to you, and I will not come under you, and you will not have this flow. With that heart. Church history goes on to suggest, or say, depends whether you're going to believe all the literature around it, but that Simon was instrumental in Peter ending up being crucified, because he was part, he too was in Rome and was trying to get the influence of the emperor, and the story is that they had a spiritual engagement, Peter and Simon, this spiritual fight, if you like, and I'm just distraught. So that's. That phase will happen to this body here. You are so bright, others will come to attempt to suck from it, whether in physical or in the spirit. It's normal. It's utterly normal. Welcome to reality. Jesus had it all the time. It will go on. And we're not to worry about that. We don't submit to it, and we will perceive more around us as it happens. It means our eyes will open more to what is going on around us so that we can engage with the light of Christ flowing through us at a much more powerful, precise, precision way and change environments. How did I get here? It's already happened, guys. It's already going on. You noticed. And if you've come to this gathering, you've got sucked into that. It rubs off on you as well. You carry extraordinary presence. You're loved and you're powerful, but your sufficiency is not of yourself. It's in Him. Paul says this extraordinary thing, doesn't he? 2 Corinthians 12:5. There's a reference for you. I boast in my weakness because His strength is matured. It comes to rest wholly and perfectly on my weakness. We were never meant to be strong. We were meant to be weak with His strength. Does that make any sense in English? So let the weak say they are strong. You get it? Let the weak say they are strong. There is a weakness that's to do with self-pity, the reverse of pride. You know, like, oh, I'm weak. And really it's pride. Because we think there's a human ability to do things, and I haven't got it. Other people have, but I haven't. So the pride one would say, no, I have got it. And neither of those is the right weakness. The normal, the godly, the real, the way you were made weakness is utter dependence on Him. So I'm totally dependent, and yeah, it was never any other way. I'm totally dependent on Him all the time. And He is my sufficiency, and that's what it says. My grace, His grace is perfected. His strength of His grace is perfected in me when I'm in that weakness. His flow of energy comes through me when I'm inside, somehow increasingly settled and acknowledging I can do nothing on my own. Like Jesus said, I can do nothing without the Father. So He's acknowledging utter dependence, and that's normal. That's just the way it is. So, what am I saying? I don't know what I'm saying. I'm trying to work out in the light of what I'm seeing. You will have an increasing sense of weakness, and it's a good thing. And you go straight for it. It's only when you've got to think you've got to fix your weakness that there's a problem. Because that's pride. Because you think you can do it. And you should be able to do it. Or, I can't do it, others can do it, but I should be able to do it. Shame. But actually you will increasingly realize you're incapable without Him, but there will be that will only be there for a fraction of a second because you instantly realize He's with you. It's like a constant, help always there, help always there, help always there. But it's a state rather than it's just a constant, whoa, what next, what next? And that's the most exciting place to be, where you know you cannot engineer life, but He's engineering it through you. Wow, that's a glorious place to be. I want to just keep walking in that direction, where you end up in a constant accident of His blessing. Yes. It's the feeling, it's like constant surprise. Yes. Of course, you knew things that were coming, but there's a sense within it of surprise. Yes. It's like, didn't know He would do that. Knew He would, but wow, ooh. Oh, it's red. Wondered whether it would be green. Woo! Does that make any sense? It's like, healed. Wow, that was cool. It's just like, it's like Forrest Gump anointing. You're just stumbling into the glory all the time. But there's a restedness about it. It's like, it's not like surprise, like, I didn't realize He loved me. Of course, I know. It's like surprise of, whoa, it's just much bigger and constantly expanding more than I thought. That's what we're heading for.
Yeah.
That's what we're in.
Yeah.
That's the rhythm, that's the flow. You see, God is a flow. He's not static. Yes. So whenever we think solid forms, we've missed the point. He's emotion. Mm-hmm. Not, I mean, he's emotion, but he's motion. He's lion, ox, eagle, man. He's motion, he's movement. He's a flow. So he's a river. As opposed to a lake. He's a river. Yeah. He's moving. So when you're in him, there's movement. There's constant. Ooh, ah, ooh, ah, ah, ah. And he's endless. So there's constant new. That's extraordinary, isn't it? So we build rhythms in our lives to meet with him. But the rhythms cause us to engage with his motion, which is unpredictable. You know his ways and nature, but there's always that sense of surprise. Who knows what he's going to do next? And those are the exciting gatherings we have, aren't we? Aren't they? When we gather and we got no idea what he's going to do. We kind of do, but we don't. We know what it'll be like because it'll be good. We don't know what. And there's that sense of anything could happen. You were meant to live in that. That's your inheritance. Every day going to work, not quite knowing what's going to happen in a good way. That even if disaster breaks out around you, there'll be this shalom within you that seems to be have the answer to everything, whatever happens. It's just, whoa, it's like scarily safe. It's just always resting and wow, it's all gone horribly wrong there. Ooh, but the shalom says, cool, go for it. Yeah, just walk into it. Whee, it's all going to change. Something's going to, I don't know what's going to happen, but it's going to change. This is rubbish English, isn't it? It's how to express things in spiritual words. That's, what is it Paul says? You need spiritual understanding to explain the spiritual things that we're talking about. This is 1 Corinthians 2. Yeah. That's a bizarre piece of Greek. I mean, it really, you look at the various translations, they're trying to express it. It's like, what, you know, So I'm in good company, trying to find right words, messing with the language to try and express something that doesn't fit in this language, English, because it was born, it's glued to the earth. You are made, you're not born from this earth, you're born from the heavens, so you have a, we're having to go through, shift, to grasp, change, messing with inside, to grasp who we are and how the world really works and how reality really works. Oh, Jesus, rescue me. I'm a rubbish preacher. That is just... Does God ever mess with your head? And you might be tempted to think, who is this crazy bunch of people in this room? We're just a crazy handful of people laughing and falling over. Who are we? What are we doing? God chooses the foolish things in the world's eyes to shame the wisdom of the world. Because the wisdom of the world does not connect with the wisdom of the heavens at all. The wisdom of the world is to do with selfish gain. Yes. The The wisdom of the heavens is a completely different thing. The wisdom of the heavens builds. It builds the New Jerusalem. It gives and builds. The wisdom of this world takes and gets, and it's clever at it. And it doesn't understand when someone comes along and preaches like me, who looks like an imbecile. I've had a very satanically minded person, very deeply gone that way, utterly convinced and telling me I'm an idiot. You're an idiot. And I'm thinking, yeah. Oh, but I know him as so clever. So clever that I can't even grasp his cleverness. And any attempt to be clever gets in the way of grasping his cleverness. And you're right, I was never meant to be clever in myself. It's so even the rebuke of a Satanist becomes a journey to go lower in relying on him, humbling myself. Instead of defending myself, without him, I'm a complete idiot. I would think I was clever, and that would be the most deceived of all.
Yes.
Oh, isn't it frustrating that an idiot like me can pray and it stops everything you're trying to do? And I don't even know what I'm praying. But it does something, doesn't it? Must be him. Oh. And how could Peter give away what he's praying for? You can't, like, it's like I can't package it and give it away. He's saying, I'm in the flow of the Holy Spirit. It's just I'm in it. You can't, what are you talking about? Buy it? That's just, it doesn't even compute. You cannot obtain this like that. It doesn't. It's a flow that you fall into, that I've yielded to, based on the fact that my life has been dismantled by Jesus. Because Peter would say, I thought I had it all together. I even knew that I wouldn't be the one that would betray Jesus. I would be the one who would stand strong. I so didn't know myself. I was the most deceived of all the disciples, I'm sure he'd say. Most deceived because I felt I was strong. And of course I fell. I'm weak. And the more I've learned that, the more I've learned that he's strong within me when I acknowledge my weakness. When I live from it. Wow. So we're all utterly weak. Utterly. Oh, what a glorious place to be if it's the right sort of weakness where you realize, I can't do it. But he's here. It's like I'm on tiptoes going, what is he going to do? Because I can't do anything. That's your inheritance. Are you ready for that? So life gets less and less in your control. We have to let go of the delusion of control. Because it is a delusion. You're not in control of anything. You think you are. It's an utter delusion. So you can temporarily appear to be in control and use resources to appear to be in control. Gain power, like Simon, the magician. I can gain control to some extent, but it won't last. Because you haven't got any control. The only control you've got is the ability to yield to him. That's self-control. I choose who I yield to. Oh. I think there's some in this room, you're called to a fresh yielding in the right direction. Instead of yielding to people and dreams things we're holding on to, we yield to Him, and wow. He is the good shepherd. You can trust Him. He will shepherd you with His rod and His staff, which isn't always pleasant, I wouldn't think. Going round the mountain path that's one sheep wide. Isn't that the picture? And He's just banging you with the stick to keep you in. That's not the most pleasant thing, but He's a good shepherd. That means He's not nice to you. He does what is good for you. And it helps me undo my stubbornness, doesn't it? That I yield to His process. Oh, you know, you can accelerate that. That's a good thing. But if you try and accelerate it with control, that will fail. I want this to go quicker. I want this to go quicker. I want this. No, you accelerate it by more yielding. Yield, yield, yield. Instead of, what are the 10 steps to make this work, Paul? I get that a lot. What are the... someone, you know, it's the clever interviews. And someone sat down, I didn't know this. They were going to say this. What are the 3 steps that makes this all work, Paul? So, well, if I knew, I'd probably write a book on it, bottle it, sell it, make a fortune, and then repent. But I mean, it's not like that, is it? It's yielding. All you can do is yield more, and all you can do is pray the dangerous yielding requests of God, come in more. Shake everything. Shake everything. There's nothing I don't want shaken. So you pray that. What happens is, isn't it? You go, there's nothing in my life I don't want you to shake. The next thing that happens is, in a day's time, He shakes something you didn't want Him to shake. So you go, I didn't mean that. So then you realize, oh, okay. Because we're deceived, aren't we? We're self-deceived. We think this is our life. And actually, this is our life. Yeah. So it's like, I'll give this to You, Lord. I'll give everything. And He starts taking from over here. No, I'm giving everything. it's a fantastic chance when your spouse confronts you with your attitude of heart, and you're convinced that they've got a harder heart than you in that area. But you yield. Okay, you're right. That's in me. Wow, I'm sorry. And I move away from what I think I can see in the other person. Because I've got a log in my own eye. It's making it rather difficult. So if I take every chance to go low and accept weakness like that, wow, that's bad. So then I think that means that when you stand up strong and go to the enemy, no! It's not based on self-will. It's not based on... It's based on, you know, your God, who is your defender. Yes. So I'm not standing up to defend myself when I go, I rebuke you! I'm allowing His rebuke to come through me. That's different then, isn't it? Because so often we rebuke out of fear to protect ourselves. But when His rebuke comes, and He's okay, He's gracious, He works with you. But when His rebuke comes to you, oh my goodness. There's no fight. Stop! Whoa, it stops. So, even the resistance of the enemy becomes a chance to go lower. Allah, work more in my heart, Lord. Work more in my heart. Work more in my heart. And picking His timing to say stop and His timing to say go. Learning to flow with Him. And that's a beautiful thing. And I think it's on you. So that means if we're talking about it now and you think it's me talking about it, it's just rubbish. It's Him speaking inside you to some extent through these words, but He's doing something in you to enable you to walk in this. He never dangles carrots in front of people. So we may have a system that we formed of religion that teaches things, but we never expect people to fully get it. And always the elite few will have it and many won't. He's not like that. He's always after imputational change and giving away and having it and it resting in you. So that means he wants this to rest in you. Wow. Lord, would you expose our weakness even more? Would you break me out of my self-delusion of where I think I'm strong? And would you reveal your strength? Would you reveal your power, your love, your light coming through me? For everything that I can see and perceive now, I choose in my heart, Lord, to stop protecting it, protecting me. I yield. I let you be my fortress. You are my fortress. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will rest under the shadow of El Shaddai. He who lives, that's what it means, he who dwells, he who sits down in the hidden place of the Most High God, I come into his hiding, not my own cave, his cave. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will experience rest as the wing of El Shaddai overshadows you. I've experienced that several times. In dangerous situations, I've disappeared. It's like people couldn't see me. Because God will hide you if you let him be your covering and protection. He will hide you. I was teaching, this has happened several times now. I was teaching not so long ago. And I disappeared, apparently. I wouldn't have known. But the group couldn't see me, and then I reappeared. And why? What's the point of that? I was just talking about Psalm 91. And as I talked about it, the reality engages that these eyeballs only see a certain realm of reality. And you engage with more of reality than that. And if you slip into his presence, even what people think they can see changes because you're in another place in him. Did that make any sense at all? I'm not sure the English did at all. I think I need to go back to school and learn English properly. Oh. So when you are weak, he is strong. Stop trying to be strong. How do you balance that with perseverance? Perseverance is constant yielding, isn't it? I will keep yielding, I will keep yielding. As opposed to stubbornness. No, no, I'm not doing it. No, perseverance is I yield, I keep yielding. I keep waiting, I keep staying. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will have their strength changed. They will rise up on wings like eagles. I get this privilege of looking out at you beautiful people. You're extraordinary. He loves you. You can't lose. You can't lose. It's too late. It's all been rigged. You're going to win. We've seen the end. He wins. We win in him. If we're in him, he's the winner, so we win. God was messing with my head with time. I was watching my clock go forward a minute every second because this angel of time walked in the room and said, I'm the angel of time. And I said, what's that? And he said, watch this. Pointed at my clock. I know it was a digital clock and it went tick, 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 through the minutes. I lost 10 minutes. I said, stop! I said, stop! I'm going to be late. What are you doing? What is this? You know, we've learned to be so time bound, but hope isn't time bound. It goes to where the end is and goes wow and lives in it. Yes. Oh. And then you live there backwards.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's glory. I was walking across a beautiful field in Somerset. So many lovely walks in Somerset. You should all move there. And there was this gate, and it was shut. And the Holy Spirit, I was having this conversation with the Holy Spirit. He was talking to me about the birds that had flown by and all this stuff. And he says, look at that gate. He says, yeah, I'm looking at it. He says, is it open or closed? And I said, it's closed. He says, no, it's not, is it? He says, no, it is. It's closed. It's not, is it? Because you're going to open it. Yeah, I'm going to open it. I'm going to go there. So if you're going to open it, it's open, isn't it? Is it? But it looks closed. No, but it's open. Because you will open it. It's a certainty. And I'm a bit slow on these things. But I think I'm starting to realize that what you perceive with your eyes about in the now is not true reality. You have to fix your eyes on what is unseen, what is sure, utterly sure, future-based, solid, which this physical now stuff has to change eventually to conform to that. So you will shine like a star in the universe. Therefore, it's already here, breaking out in you. It reality around you has to change if you keep yielding. So whatever struggle you're in, it has to yield. Wow. It has to. There's no ifs or buts. You may not know how it's going to work, but it's going to change. It has to conform to what is coming. And boy, you're glorious. Because it's his glory in you. So you can't be little old you. You must be that. Wow. So stop trying to be strong in the now. Accept you're utterly dependent on him. Grasp, ask him to show you the hope, who you are. And it does something. You live from that. It's not wishful thinking. Wow. I can hear about it. There's one angel. This is so funny. There's one angel who's going, that's it, Paul. he's telling me it's too late. It's already gone inside you. There's just, I could see it. There's been an explosion in some of you. It's going to mess with you. You're going to read some scriptures completely differently now. You're going to be 3 months down the line. You're going to read a scripture and think, I've never read that before. But it's because of something that was deposited in you now that you're seeing. Oh, have I tortured you enough yet? Is there anything else, Holy Spirit? Is there anything else I should torture them with? Oh. Okay. I sense. Now, as soon as I say this, you're going to have a chance to balk and go, oh, no. Why? So try not to do that. I sense there's a prophetic anointing in the room. Now, prophecy, the true spirit of prophecy is from the future, isn't it? It's based in hope, and it speaks what is real in another time frame to us, a greater time frame. And I feel like we have an opening in the room to prophesy life over one another. That you can prophesy the goodness of God over someone, and their eyes will open to a higher level than they might have an hour ago. What I want to invite you to do, I can feel the tightness that can come then. Because we still think, oh no, not me, no, I can't do that. No, that's okay, accept that witness, I can't do it. I can't do this. I can't do it. So, stop stressing. Breathe out. See what sentence the Lord will give you to bless someone else around you, to speak into them. And I don't mean clever information. I mean just life. Let's impart life to one another. Now, let's speak from the hope of who they are. Let's do what Paul says. We no longer look at people as flesh and blood. Yeah. We realize that's not it. We see beyond that. See beyond that to who they are and speak who they are over them in a sentence or two. Are you with me in that?
Yeah. Yes.
There's three of us. Why don't we try it? Why don't you get in a pair with someone you feel safe enough with? You might want to go for someone a little bit less safe than normal, but safe enough with. Either someone with an orangey badge or someone you know. And let's wait on the Lord. We'll just let your spirit sell, and I'll give you 60 seconds, which is loads of time, way too much time. Because you have a chance to doubt what you get. So just pair up, or if you don't want to do it, you'd rather prophesy over yourself. You're welcome to. But it's not going to hurt, and you can't get it wrong. It's like we're going to shoot and then we'll draw the target. Okay, so it's okay if you touch someone's pain and they start to cry. That's okay. Just keep going with what you get. Love them anyway, and just, and I want, you may have already started because you're keen, but if not, just give yourself 30 seconds. Say to the other person, let's just wait on the Holy Spirit 30 seconds. And just listen, and then speak over them whatever has come into your heart to say who they are.